I thank you very much indeed for reading it to us. Shall we pray as we come to the word of God this morning? Lord God, we thank you that you are gracious and loving to us. We thank you for this beautiful morning that you have created. We thank you that despite all the difficulties we're living through at the moment, we can come together as your people, people of faith, and ask that you would strengthen us as we live for you. Please be with us now by your Spirit, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Okay, who's this famous character? Yeah. He once famously proclaimed, "I am the greatest." And at the height of his powers, it was probably true, in the boxing ring at least. He won an Olympic gold medal at 18, heavyweight champion of the world at 22. His fight with George Foreman, known as the Rumble in the Jungle, was watched by a record estimated audience of 1 billion people when the population was only 4 billion in the world, becoming the most watched live television broadcast of all time at that point. He died in 2016, one of the most iconic sportsmen the world has ever seen. A man who at 21 claimed, "I am the greatest." You know what? He was just a fallen human being like you or I. Yes, he was famous and he was wealthy, but his life eventually ended, as always does. His star burned very brightly, but now just a memory. This morning we're going to look at another I am saying, but an I am saying that will last for eternity, that has lasted for 2,000 years and will go on and on and on. For today we come to the end of our sermon series looking at these I am sayings from John's Gospel. And I'm sure many of you have heard of most of these I am sayings. You can see some of them there on the screen. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in some ways, today, they all find their culmination. They all come together in this extraordinary saying in John's Gospel, chapter 8. You know, some people actually go and follow the Thames path. Sometimes they actually follow right through to the little stream that comes out of the ground to see where the source of the River Thames is. Sometimes in the Bible, you want to follow all the little tributaries, all the little streams. Where do they actually come together in a great river and a great flood? Well, they come together at this point when Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And it's an astonishing saying that scandalized, that shocked the people of his own time. And so this is the closest that Jesus ever gets directly to saying, "I am God." It's the closest he gets. And it's so obvious that his enemies saw it as a clear case of blasphemy. They understood very clearly what was at stake. Here is a man who is claiming to be divine. Did you see that in our reading? Verse 59, it was the last verse on the order of service. At this they picked up stones to stone him. But then Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. And of course the real irony is that for us, we know it's true. Do you remember the prologue of John's Gospel? Jesus is the word that was there from the beginning. The word took flesh and came and lived amongst us as a real human being. But you know, in this part of John's Gospel, every few verses, there's a case of mistaken identity. People do not understand who is this man before them. Here's a little test for you. Any idea who these people are? Can you see those pictures on the screen? On the left, it's a Belgian lady called Delphine Bouel. She's 52, an artist and sculptor. And on the right is King Albert II of Belgium. And after DNA tests, it proved that actually he was her father, and therefore she now has a new title, Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Belgium. Her true identity has only been revealed at 52 years of age. King Albert was forced by the courts to take a paternity test, or he was going to be fined 5,000 euros a day. That probably helped to concentrate the mind, wouldn't it? 5,000 euros a day until he took the test and then everything was revealed, the truth came out, and this Lady Delphine is now the Princess of Belgium. And in some ways, part of John's Gospel, this part, is really a paternity test. Who really is his father? Who is it? Does he just have an earthly descendant like we all do? Or actually, is his father in heaven, and he is who he says he is, the Son of God? You see, in our reading, Jesus insists on his true identity. He knows that his father is in heaven. He knows that he's neither a Samaritan, and he's certainly not demon-possessed. Instead, he honours God, the Father who sent him. And in our reading today that Mike's read for us, Jesus insists on his true identity. He knows where he comes from. And he also makes this astonishing claim. It's in verse 51 of our reading. It says this: "Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." Now that's an astonishing claim. It seems absolutely preposterous. It seems like the words of a madman. If somebody said that to you, you'd think, this man needs to be locked away. He needs counselling. He needs therapy. He is not right in his head. Is Jesus really greater than Abraham and all the prophets? And the Jews around him were thinking, well, they're all great men, but they all died eventually. Who does Jesus think he is? Well, he's already said he thinks he's the way to God. He thinks that his words lead to eternal life. And that's this morning why we're celebrating Bible Sunday, the written word of God himself. Because if it is true, it contains words of truth and life. That's the claim that's been made here. And you and I are living in really uncertain and unsettling times. Many are asking us, where can I find hope and answers to their questions? By all accounts, there's been a real explosion in the occult, in people going to spiritualist churches, into Ouija boards, into tarot cards, thinking, perhaps there I can get an answer. Perhaps there I can see the future. Perhaps there I can get meaning and significance in my life. And people are searching the internet, trying to find out, why are we really here? Are we really masters of our own destiny? What is the future going to look like for us? And here the Bible provides us with a portrait of Christ, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's an ancient book, but it is timeless in its wisdom and truth. Yes, it's from the Middle East, but it has universal appeal. And I think we all today are very cynical if somebody tells us, I've got the truth. We're skeptical of politicians with their manifestos and their election debates. We hear fake news. Can you really believe what you're seeing anymore? Can you believe these words? And isn't it good to know that we can turn to Jesus, who is perfect and pure and holy, who loves us with a passion that took him to the cross, to the grave, and to wonderful new life and to heaven. You see, the Bible tells us a story and asks us to be part of that story. Will we participate? Will we share in the risen life of Jesus? And that's why the work of the Bible societies and Wycliffe Bible translators is so important. It offers hope to a lost and hurting world. But of course, it's not always easy. Just this week, there was another crackdown on Christian churches in China. A Christian believer called Chen Yu has been found guilty of illegal business operations after he ran an online religious Bible and book shop. He was jailed for 7 years. He was fined £20,000, the equivalent. His mobile phone was confiscated, and his stock of 13,000 books was burnt. That is what it's like in some parts of the world when we dare to say the Bible is the word of God and people need to read it. And on our bookshelves, maybe we have different translations of the Bible. Maybe we have different editions. But in many parts of the world, it is a dangerous, dangerous thing to have a Bible. And of course, the Jewish leaders in our reading, they just don't get it. All they see before him is this blaspheming troublemaker, an upstart carpenter from the backwaters of Galilee. Again, the end of verse 53, who do you think you are? But Jesus is not about to deny his identity. And it really matters what we think about all of this. If Jesus is who he says he is, it changes everything. He tells us that he has a claim on our lives. He tells us that he offers life, eternal life. He says that one day we will have to answer to him. So we either dismiss him as a fraud, like some of these Jewish leaders, or we follow him as Lord. And there's not many other alternatives or options there. Jesus says to his detractors, do you really follow your fathers Abraham and Moses? Because if they did, they would realize that the patriarchs and prophets all looked forward to that time of the Messiah, and they rejoiced. Look at verse 56, so we have that reading again. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. And this just seems like more madness to these other leaders. Do they really think that Jesus has seen Abraham? How could he possibly be that old, maybe 1,500, 1,600 years before him? Then he goes on even further to say, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Now, why is that statement really the last straw? Why does he say, I am? Well, let's think back again to Exodus. Do you remember the story in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush? Moses has run away after he's killed somebody in Egypt. He's in the wilderness looking after the sheep of his father-in-law, Jethro. And he sees this extraordinary sight that he has not seen before. It is a bush on fire burning. But it's not being consumed. It's not being burnt up. And then a voice comes to him. And it asks him, will you be the person I choose to lead my people Israel out of Egypt? And to say Moses is not quite convinced is an understatement. This is what he says to God in Exodus. Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what am I to tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. You see, God reveals to Moses his personal divine name, I am. From beginning to end, for all eternity, has always been. Not just I was, but I am. He's at the center of all things. This became a name so holy that Jews could not even express it clearly. They couldn't even write it down clearly. And Jesus of Nazareth, he identifies so much with being God. He actually uses the words I am and applies it to himself. And that's why for the Christian, the Bible isn't just a dusty history book or a kid's storybook. No, it's really meant to be taken seriously. Here is a man who's claiming to come from heaven. He's claiming to be divine. And that shouldn't surprise us. All the way through John's gospel, he's been telling us, here is the Word made flesh. The Word that's existed before all of time came and lived amongst us. He took a human body. He would get tired. He would need to eat and drink. He would need to sleep. He could feel real pain and suffering. If the Bible is true, we need to see for ourselves how God comes down from eternity into time and space and touches our lives. That's why Jesus can make these amazing claims of the I am sayings. I'm the bread of life. I'm the true vine. You must remain in me. I'm the light of the world. Why can he say that? Because he truly believes and is God. I am. And as we unwrap the Bible, and as we offer it to a world which is so needy and hurting at this time, let's have confidence that when we open the scriptures, we find words of life, words of truth, words of hope. is an extraordinary gift to us. I'm going to ask us now to pray that God would continue to feed us, to nourish us, to bless us through his word. And maybe if we've been honest with ourselves, we have taken the Bible for granted. Maybe it stays on the shelf from one week to the next. In a few moments' time, Shirley's going to come and share something with us about Bible reading notes, even apps you can use in your phone. Maybe today would be a good day to recommit yourself to being fed with the word of God and to read what it says in the Bible. Shall we pray together? Before Abraham was born, I am. Lord, I thank you so much that you are not silent, but you are a God of revelation and you would speak